Nail Nuts Garage. There go those bloody cops again. Good God. Well, hello, people. This is the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, and I am the Faye Driver. I see there's several people listening on the stream, I believe. Can everybody hear me on the stream? Someone's going to have to type something into the chat room to let me know we're coming through okay. I think we're doing okay. I can hear myself on the stream. So this is the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, and I am the Faye Driver, and welcome to my inaugural episode of Going Live on Pride 48. Thank you all for joining me. Now listen, you just heard the cops out there, so guys, when you come up to the garage, you can park in the front, but please just come around the back. I don't need the neighbors to see you coming in the door, so everybody just come in the back door and gather around. You can grab a beer out of the fridge, and you know, we'll just relax and we'll sit here and we'll have a little chat. So let me fill you in on what the show's going to be like. I've got a couple of guests with me right now who are waiting in the wings. So we're going to say hello to them in a minute or so. And we're going to sit around and talk about cars. And I want to direct anybody who's listening right now live on the stream, you can go to the chat room at pride48.com, log in, and I'll be trying to keep my eye on the chat room. We're going to talk about cars. Some people are going to have some questions. And if you're listening to this show now from my podcast, if you've downloaded it after the Friday Night Live show, this will probably be an enhanced podcast as well. So if we're going to talk about cars, I'll try to throw in the pictures of the cars and stuff like that that we're talking about. If you're listening on your iPod or listening in iTunes. Okay, so let me introduce who we all have here. We have someone that I've actually never met. This is the first time we've met sort of personally, quote-unquote, and that's Apollonius from They Don't Know blog. Hi, Apollonius.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Apollonius is also known as Peter. We heard through the Grits to Glitz girls that you got a new puppy. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your new puppy, Peter?
Yes, she is named Cairo, and she is a Doxador, which is a cross between a dachshund and a Labrador. And as I tell everyone else, don't think of the physics of that.
Right.
But she is basically the closest thing I could get to a ferret or an otter or some other weasel-like creature, so I was fascinated when I saw her on the Atlanta Humane Society website and ended up adopting her, and she's making us better and wonderful.
So. Oh, great.
And she's, of course, locked out of the room so she doesn't bite me and bark and cause general havoc, as puppies want to do.
Okay. We're going to talk to Peter a little bit about his car, what his interest in cars is a little later. But first, I want to introduce my nemesis on the Scramble with Friends and Words with Friends, who claimed to be a not very good player, but he's been scrapping my ass. This is the Laughing Buddha. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Faye Driver. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Hey, did you just see that last 31-point play that I just did?
No, I did not.
Well, you will later.
Okay, so I'm going to lose that game, aren't I?
Probably,
you
I
bastard.
Would have to say.
Yeah. So, Mark, Mark is from the Scooter Diaries podcast, which we can hear via the audio boost. Do you want to plug your show a little bit? Mark.
Sure, absolutely. You can find the Scooter Diaries also if you search on iTunes, and you can also find my website at laughingbuddha.blogspot.com. Now, the spelling on Laughing Buddha is a little bit different than normal. It's LaffingBuddha. So there you are.
Great, thank you. It's a great show. I love your car driving shows. I don't know where you got that idea from, but
yeah, some guy I listen to. I think he's from Mexico.
I like your show art. I noticed you put show art in your episodes, and I was looking at your show art going, hey, you're not going anywhere.
Well, actually, I had to pull off the side of the road in order to take that photo, because that was a trip that I was taking a few weeks back when I visited some friends in Isle, Minnesota, and it was actually raining during the time too. So, you know, practicing safe podcasting.
Good. Oh, good for you. Okay. So, hey, Peter. Now, I only know through the scuttlebutt, or from what I see you tweet occasionally. Are you a bit of a racer? Do you do some track time or something? What's your thing with cars?
We do, well, me and two friends do SCCA right now, which is Sports Car Club of America. Mm-hmm. And I guess the easiest way to describe that is we race around cones and parking lots. So you're never going to be going above, say, 40 miles an hour. And the entire idea is if something lets go and everything fucks up and you go plummeting towards something, the worst thing you can do is like run into a light pole at 20 and you won't die.
Right.
And you can mess up your car, but you won't mess up yourself. And they're very big on that. And there are basically, when I say two of my friends, what happened is around 2005, after I moved into Atlanta, a couple of the people I met at Georgia Tech decided we want to do the Grassroots 2006 Motorsports Challenge, which is to try and build a track car for under $2,006.
Oh.
And we ended up purchasing a 1986 Merkur XR4 Ti, which, if you were around then, they're pretty much like a 80s Mustang, only they were made in Germany and they were made for kind of a luxury market. And they have a turbocharged four-cylinder, so we thought, oh, great, it comes turbocharged, it's going to be easy to hop it up. And we ended up putting so much money into it that it ended up costing more than it would have been able to qualify for the 2006, so we just turned it into a track car.
Hmm. And how's it been going? It sounds like you're getting good performance out of it.
Well, it's a big two steps forward, one step back learning car. Like, there have been a couple of times we set it on fire. By the way, everyone, the battery posts are different size for different reasons. So if you find yourself not being able to fit it on and trying to use a hammer, you're maybe putting the negative terminal on the positive ground. we built a Megasquirt, which is a fuel injection computer for it. And that is something we soldered together in our own house. And of course, there were sometimes crossed wires with short bits of it out. So you're sitting there with the multimeter trying to figure out which piece you blew up. We completely redid the wiring in it. It came without an interior, so we repainted the entire thing using marine boat paint because it was just easier. It looks awful, but it goes like stink, and we love it. And probably we've gotten to the point where we feel like it's safe. We put new brakes on it. Really, the next steps are putting more bits into the roll cage and putting a limited slip differential into it so that the inner tire doesn't smack. So.
Uh-huh. So you're actually extremely avid about cars.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I tend to be like, there's jokes of pictures of me turning a wrench on it because, like, you know, I know how to do an oil change, I know how to rotate tires, but a lot of the stuff, I was kind of the person holding the light and holding the cable out of the way and trying to hold the exhaust manifold just because I'm so scared of breaking something, I let everyone else kind of go in ahead of me. And I also have put a lot of money into it, but
yeah, sure.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, and just so everybody knows what's going to happen, we're going to try to cover a couple of questions on cars and things. I know Laughing Buddha is going to have a question for us, which we're going to get to in a minute or so. We're also going to try to talk about Dennis in Colorado, who is interested in buying a new car. He's interested in the Hyundai Elantra, a Toyota Corolla, or a Honda Civic. So we're going to talk about what we think his car choice should be in that respect. And then if there's people in the chat room who want to get in, I know Toppy Smelly's in the chat, and he just had some car problems recently. Maybe he wants to get on Skype, and we can call him a little later on and have him talk about his car. And Haunt Cub had a question for me a long time ago. He may not even remember what that question was. But maybe we can get Haunt Cub on the phone in a few minutes too, after we talk a bit more. So, Mark, you had a question about things you hear on the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, when you're driving around in these fabulous BMWs and, you know, putting them through their paces, you often mention this term called understeer. And, you know, I heard that over several episodes, and I'm like, you know, what the hell is understeer?
Right. Yeah, that's a very good question, and I'm gonna play a little segment for you of one of these incidents where I was driving a car, and I just gotta get this ready. Of course, I could have been more prepared. Sorry, guys. Give me one second while I move my stuff around. So here's a little interesting situation with understeer in the BMW 323 that I was driving a few weeks ago.
One of these long sweeping corners. I'm in fourth gear, 3,000 RPM, 90 kilometers an hour. Yeah, let's see. Just a little understeer, a little bit understeer. But then it heels over, it kind of heels over and commits to it. Fifth gear, 100 kilometers, 2,500 RPM.
So you heard me talking there about understeer a little bit. We get a little heavier into this understeer a little later on in this drive. If people are new to the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, this is just one of the sorts of things that will happen when you listen to the Pink Wheel Nuts show, is me driving cars in this sort of fashion. Here's a bit more on this understeer.
Okay, we are coming up to our first hairpin corner. 5,000 RPM, fifth gear, sorry. I'm getting into this now. This is a 30 kilometer turn. I'm doing, coming down to 60. Yeah, there's that understeer. Oh, come on. Heel, baby. Heel over. Good job. You really got to. It's like a worm. Oh, hilarious. Oh, that's fucking funny. Oh, that was good.
Oh, it's funny. So you see, Mark, sometimes understeer can be really funny. Well, it's funny to me anyway.
Especially in a hairpin turn.
Yeah, exactly. So let's try to explain understeer. Basically, understeer is your car's unwillingness to turn in the direction that you point the wheels, right? So you might be going fairly quickly into a corner. You turn your wheel to the left to follow the corner, and you find that the car doesn't want to follow the curve that you intend. Well, that is what understeer is. And it occurs when your front wheels no longer want to grip the road, and they won't curve, and they'll just sort of go in a line much straighter than you thought.
So it's all about physics is what you're saying.
Absolutely. It's completely about physics. It's about managing your weight on all four points, because your car has four tires, right? And on each tire, there's a certain amount of weight. Like in an ideal world, it would be one quarter of the weight of the car. So if your car is 2,000 pounds, you'd have 500 pounds of weight on the front tire on the left, 500 on the right, 500 on the two rear tires each, right? So sometimes that weight moves around on you, and when you're taking corners, you're sort of forcing the weight to places where the tires can no longer support the amount of weight or the G-force that goes in, that's being applied to the tires, and then they lose grip, and you lose your effective steering, right?
Absolutely. So when you have tires, it's really important to keep an eye on those, pounds per square inch, and the inflation of those tires, so you don't get into further trouble.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, if you want to make sure your tires are inflated to the proper tire pressure, and they'll work best at that optimum pressure. A too low tire pressure car will handle poorly, and one with too much tire pressure will tend to lose its grip. Peter,
the best thing to do is to learn the driving dynamics of your car. Front wheel drive cars tend to have a lot more over or understeer, just because the front wheels are responsible for the power, the braking, and the turning. So if you're trying to power out of a turn, it tends to steer less just because it's trying to push the power onto the road. rear-wheel drive cars, if they're really heavy in the front, they tend to understeer, but you can usually correct it, as you did in your clip, by giving it more gas. Mm-hmm. So that tends to, if you're giving it more gas, the rear end wants to kick out, so it's steering as much as you want to. Or you're sliding sideways, but that's a different problem.
Right, which falls under this category as well, though. There's another term called oversteer, which is it's exactly what you said. When your rear end starts to skid out, then your car is pointing further beyond the direction you intended, basically, which is why you typically have to correct into the skid, right? You turn your wheel towards the way that your bum is flying out, and you're compensating for that oversteer.
That, and you usually give it less gas, which will work so long as you're not in a mid or rear engine car.
Exactly. So how's that? How's the primer mark on understeer and oversteer? Do you have any questions?
No, I think that explains it well, and I feel like I'm an expert now.
Excellent. I just hope it wasn't too boring for everybody else.
Well, you were talking about, you know, rear ends going out and mm-hmm. that sort of thing, so.
Yes. I actually have another question from Scotty, the little Aussie battler. I'm going to steal a clip off of Scotty's show, and let's listen to what he has to say here.
And there's a chance... Though it is a chance, still. Only a chance. I'd say there's a reasonable to fair chance that I've now finished my undergraduate degree. Yes, I'm not holding the steering wheel while I clap, Faye Driver! That's my first question for the Faye Driver sex driving question show, whatever it is, whenever it's gonna blink in a while, come on the air sometime next year. Is it safe to let go of the steering wheel and clap while driving? Answer me that, Mr. BMW driver.
Well, thank you, Scotty, for that question. And yes, it's perfectly safe to remove your hands from the wheel and clap, I think, isn't it, guys? What do you think?
I think so. I do it from time to time.
Sure. Does anybody drive with their knee?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
When I worked in retail, I could tie a tie at 55 miles per hour with one hand.
Wow, one hand?
Yeah, one hand. I'm very talented that way.
Well, so just a minute. What would you... One hand on the wheel and one hand on the tie? I don't get this. Yeah, what were you doing with that other hand?
One hand on the wheel, one hand tying a bow, not a bow tie, but a regular necktie in just a half Windsor, double Windsor, you need both hands.
I see. That's very good. Peter, what do you do with your hands when you're in your car? Did we lose him? Peter, wake up.
Bah! I unmuted instead of muted. Sorry about that. That's a loaded question. But I'd say I will use my knee if I'm doing something that requires both hands. Generally, hands-free driving is fine so long as your car has a good alignment, you're not doing anything crazy like turning or planning to brake or accelerate real hard. So.
Right. Are you a responsible driver?
Oh, by all means, no.
Oh, okay. All right. You sound like a responsible driver.
Which is why I try and keep my hands on the wheel. Because, well, I'm from Atlanta. Atlanta, the land of, hi, welcome to Atlanta. Is someone in front of you? No. Then you can be driving faster. I don't care. It says 55. Go 90. There's no one in front of you. But, so.
Okay, actually, Scotty did send me a real question. So this is a real question that he wanted to ask us. Here it goes.
So, Mr. Faye Driver, my question for your ridiculous driving sex question BMW show is, I was driving my beautiful Hilux the other day, and, well, do I need the spring? That means that the accelerator, when you push the pedal, does not stay down on full acceleration. I realize possibly that when... some certain people in Canada drive, they probably never lift their foot off from being full acceleration. But just wondering if you can tell me if I do need to get that wee little spring replaced, or if I can just drive forever with my foot on the clutch and not on the accelerator. Thanks. Bye. This is Scotty, a little Aussie battler.
Thank you, Scotty, for that question. Yes. Does anybody know what a Toyota Hilux is?
Yeah, I've seen one.
It's the same thing. Actually, it's a, I'd say, souped up version of the Toyota Tacoma. It's a pickup truck. And if you've ever watched Top Gear, it's also apparently a very good Arctic Ranger.
Right. Well, I think Scotty's Hilux is probably a little older than the what I would refer to as a much nicer Toyota Tacoma. But Scotty, here's the answer to your question. This is my answer. Now, everybody, listen to me. We may be, or I may be giving out advice, or the other people in this chat room or on this show might be giving advice too. But my best advice to you is to not take our advice, okay? I'm just putting myself out there for that because I know nothing. Anything I recommend you do, you're doing at your own risk. Unless it involves taking your hands off the wheel for something else. In any case, yes. yeah, that's the disclaimer. Toppy, here's what you do. You do need that spring for your carburetor. And here's what you need to do. He said it was a small spring, but I don't know, Peter, do you think... I think it's a bigger spring than what he's referencing.
It sounded like he meant there's like some sort of tiny spring underneath the dashboard close to where the pedal is, but usually it's a spring on the throttle control valve, and there's a chance that the spring is gone or broken, but there's also a chance that the accelerator cable is messed up and needs to be replaced. Like maybe it has a kink in it, or something is jamming it, or otherwise getting it stuck so when he presses it down, it doesn't want to go back. So.
Yeah.
And yeah, if he doesn't get replaced, he'll race the engine and probably blow it up. If, like, he's not careful.
Here, Scotty, here's what you do. You go into the Hilux Australian parts store, and you say to the guy, show me your cock. And the guy will pull out his cock, and you say, I need a spring for my Toyota Hilux, which is about the size of your cock. Because that's roughly how big the spring should be, I think. Wouldn't you say? No, ba-doom boomp.
Oh dear.
So anyway, I got Toppy who wants to get in, and he's going to tell us hopefully about his car situation. But I can't figure out how to add him to this list, or this call. So maybe I'm just too stupid for all that. If I call you, I'm going to try. Oh, let's see. Just bear with me, people. Yeah, I can't figure out how to attach him to add him to the call. So I'm gonna take a chance and try to add Toppy. If I lose everybody, my apologies to you. I'll call you straight back. Here we go.
Oh well.
And someone says, "Is Big Fatty operating the switchboard?"
No, because I can still hear you two.
That's right.
Yeah, we should be back on the stream again now. I don't know. Hopefully people will be able to hear us. I'll just do a quick check here. Yeah, we're fine. We're coming over the stream again, as far as I can tell. So sorry, Toppy. I'm not going to be able to add you. I don't know if the problem is with you. Oh, he hung up on me twice. Well, this is your last chance. Last chance, Toppy.
Don't screw it up.
Remember, the mute button is the one that looks like a microphone, not the one that looks like a hung-up thing.
Oh, my humble apologies. I hung up on you twice by accident.
The story of my life.
You know, podcasters are such attention whores.
Hey, be quiet.
What?
So, Toppy, had a long road trip, and you've had trouble with your catalytic converter or your muffler on your car.
Well, here's the story briefly.
about a year ago, not even a year ago, had the whole muffler thing replaced. And then surprisingly, not too long ago, a horrible a break occurred somewhere down there. And I said to myself, betcha I'm still under warranty, haha, I won't have to pay a dime. But I took it there, and it turns out everything they replaced 7 months ago or so is perfectly fine. The break occurred right at the neck of the catalytic converter.
Ooh.
So the mechanic showed me this, and sure enough, you know, right there, I saw the bolts were all rusty, and his claim is, well, I can't possibly reattach this thing without putting in a new catalytic converter for $600 million. And my claim is, sure, any welder could reattach this pipe with no problem whatsoever for probably $4. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done anything about it, but the mechanic even said your catalytic converter seems fine. They just can't, you know, supposedly easily reattach it. But
so is your car really loud then?
Oh, it's horrible. I sound like I'm driving a hot rod.
Oh, yeah. That's too bad.
What kind of car is it?
Well, it's a 94 Honda Accord.
Okay. What you should probably be able to do is go into an exhaust shop, and they'll be able to weld in a new flange. And then they just kind of chop the bit of the exhaust pipe between the catalytic converter and the muffler and join it up in the middle somewhere.
All right, now please to explain an exhaust shop. Seriously, what is that?
It's places that actually do more exhaust work, so it's going to be probably, it will, I guess you can type exhaust shop into Google, also places that specialize in mufflers, that sort of place. So like Meineke and Midas and Goodyear, any
I was
shop
at
that has welding equipment.
Yeah, and I was at a shop. I was at, they call it, it's owned by Midas. It's called Coal Muffler around here. Mm-hmm. It's owned by, but see, they're the ones that told me they can't possibly do it.
Get a second opinion. Just go to a different shop and try looking. Like, if you look around on Google, you'll probably be able to find ones that are rated. And from comments, you'll be able to be sort of like, oh, it costs a little bit extra, but they were able to weld in something. If there's a chance, however, that like the actual catalytic converter like housing is really messed up, they might not be able to weld that, just because then you get into more custom metal fabrication due to the weird shape of it, and they might wreck the catalyst by taking a torch to it. So,
well, but that break occurred right there, right at the catalytic converter, right there.
But I mean, do you have emissions testing in New York?
Yes, but I think this car's too old for them to bother.
Yeah, so
every time I've taken in for inspection, they don't bother with any of that.
Yeah, so, you know, there's probably no, it's probably not necessary for you to be too concerned about the catalyst in the catalytic converter, because if your car no longer qualifies, quote unquote, for emissions testing, then you don't really need to have a catalytic converter. You can
It's like my appendix, like Romo's appendix. I don't even know what a catalytic converter does.
Is something that sits in the exhaust stream to burn off extra hydrocarbons and nitrates that are in the exhaust that tend to pollute. So you could completely bypass the catalytic converter, but it tends to make your car pollute a little bit more. But at the same time, it will up the efficiency and the power, because it's a brick of stuff that tends to create back pressure. So
yeah, it's for emissions only, and we hate emissions. No, we don't. We love the environment, right? We love the environment.
Yeah.
So now also, you went for a long trip and got this new puppy for mom and dad. How did that go? We want to hear more about this road trip. I know you've already talked about it, but what are you not telling us?
I don't think. First of all, I didn't take my car. I took my father's truck, which is a splendid vehicle. It's large. It's black. It has four wheels. No, it's some kind of Dodge or I don't know.
A big monster.
Big truck.
Big monster.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to worry about any traveling problems.
It's a 2007 Dodge Humongous. So
exactly. Now isn't that funny? See, you guys are probably gonna. You guys won't understand this, but when I look out on the roadway and all I see are cars and trucks and vans, what I mean is I couldn't tell you, oh, that's a blah-de-blah, blah-blah, and that, oh, over there is a blah-de-blah, blah-blah. They're just cars and trucks to me. I couldn't tell you one from the other.
It's because you weren't raised by demented parents who made you memorize every type of manufacturer and model. We used to play tricks or games when we would go on road trips. We would play games and it would be, okay, who can spot the first Ford Fairlane 500? You know, and you'd get a quarter or something. So
mm-hmm. That's... Well, I'm an advertiser's worst nightmare because I don't recognize brands at all. I just don't. They completely elude me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to add the fat one to this call.
Oh, jeez.
Let's see what's going to happen to this now.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know, we can't get through a Friday night show without a big fatty coming on.
You know somebody has to resurrect the big fatty or the little fatty cast version 2.0.
Yeah.
To keep him off the street.
It would never fucking be about cars, though, except a jalopy, maybe.
Womp womp.
Well, I guess we did have a jalopy on there, so anyway. I do have an actual question, though.
Oh, no.
First of all, congratulations, Faye Driver. You've fucked it up less than George in Atlanta and the Gay Country Boy do most every Sunday night, and they've been doing it for years.
Well, thank you very much. That's very nice for you to say.
We're more about driving and less about drinking.
Oh, don't listen to that.
Oh, no. don't listen to Peter.
Where's the hang-up button for Peter? We can't have him in this.
I just want your listeners to go back and listen through the reference, the car references. They also, taken out of context, not that I would know anything about taking things out of context, could be very sexually charged references.
Absolutely.
You know? Yes. Driving, you know, driving and fucking, or I'm sorry, can we say fucking on here?
I believe you can.
Okay. Well, driving and fucking. By the way, have you ever had sex while you were driving?
Just let me ask my mother if it's okay if we swear here. Just hang on.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask your mother something else.
Have I had sex while driving?
Uh-huh.
At the same time? Oh, uh-huh. Sure, absolutely.
No, I'm serious.
I am serious too, sure, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's called fellatio.
Yeah.
Okay. Or roadhead.
I'm just checking. Is that providing or receiving?
Both.
Okay, great. That's not my question.
Oh, you didn't well, send me your question in advance. You know, these have to be cleared by our publicity department. So
right, by standards and practices, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it possible, and remember, I know where the gas goes into the car.
Yes.
I know where the gas goes, you know, outside the car too. But anyway, can somebody as dumb when it comes to cars as me, I've got one of my tail lights is broken on the side. It's not keeping it from operating properly. It's just the lens on it.
You got a cracked lens.
Right, I have a cracked lens.
Is there actually a piece missing, or is there just crack?
It's cracked, and you know, some of the little chunks of it fell out.
Right.
But I mean, it's not enough to get me a ticket or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody like me replace that, or is that best left to the experts?
Well, what year is your Ford Explosion?
It's a 2005 Ford Explosion.
Yeah.
When you looked at the lens, did you see any like screw holes or areas where you could put a screwdriver in, perhaps to loosen things?
I don't think it's. I really hadn't looked at it.
That might be a Torx bit.
Well,
what?
A Torx bit. which is a little bit
how
different.
How dare you use such language around me, young man?
Well, I'm sorry, Big Daddy, Big Fatty.
Big Daddy. Oh, okay.
A Torx bit is a special head. It's like you got your flat.
Then a Torx bit special head. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody. I'm here.
Good, Peter. You were gonna say. Were you gonna talk anymore about this lens?
Basically, you could probably just go get a new lens at the junkyard or at your Ford dealership. If you see screws on the outside or someplace where you can stick in a screwdriver or a Torx bit, it's probably going to be pretty easy because you just unscrew it and kind of take it apart and then replace the lens on it. But what might make it a bit more complicated is you might have to actually open up the hatch and peel away all of the trim on the inside of the car and get to screws that are holding the lens on the inside of the car. So
your answer is just let somebody else do it.
Pay
some nice man $200 and have them do it.
You might also find actually that the thing is so ridiculously expensive because you may only need a small portion of your lens fixed, but it could be that the whole assembly with, you know, there may be two or three other lights in that whole assembly, and those lens assemblies can be extremely expensive, like ridiculously expensive.
Because they're made of polychlorinated unobtainium, which is very hard to get.
Is that like high fructose corn syrup?
No, that is very easy to get.
So it may be cost prohibitive for, especially given the fact that you may be getting a new vehicle soon, you may not want to spend what could be a lot of money on a taillight lens when you're just going to ditch the car anyway, right?
Well, let's see. When I ditch the car, I'm going to give it to the hat, so I want to give it to him.
Oh, sure.
Basically, if you're giving it to someone who you don't want to get slapped with a fine, like
somebody that I like, okay.
Yeah. Although one of the things you could do is, if you go search around like junkyards, or actually now they're parts bins, you can literally look them up online and tell them what part you need and they'll go pick it up and sell it to you. You can probably get one cheaper and then just kind of go into a shop and say, hey, put this one on. So
well, now, Peter, what is this called, a parts bin? I've never heard of that.
They're like parts pullers. Basically, every single junkyard now has figured out that they can go through every single car that's in their junkyard, take the pieces off, inventory them, and then set up an eBay shop. And it's making them lots more money. So
where do you find those?
Online, usually. Just type in Charleston car parts and you'll get a whole ton of stuff.
In fact, here's a better idea.
That sentence right there is a perfect example of a sexual or sexually charged sentence. Type in Charleston parts and you find a hole. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, the next time you're in Atlanta, just go over to Peter's house. Get him to replace it for you.
That is the answer, Faye Driver. You are exactly right.
I try to serve as best I can,
And, yes.
And thanks for volunteering me.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'll buy you lunch at the Mexican place.
And drinks, apparently.
I don't want to hijack your show, but I think it's a wonderful idea. And I won't be here every week because I don't have car problems every week. But one thing I do think, you've got quite the audience here in the garage this evening. You probably should recognize them, Faye Driver.
Oh, don't make me use your old stick for this. This is not the Big Fatty show. Good God. What? Hey, where'd he go? Oh, did I lose you again?
How dare you?
Oh, there you are.
I'm here.
Is everybody else there? It sounds very odd all of a sudden.
I'm here. I think you lost Laughing Buddha.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to call him back if he's listening. He's going to have to listen to the stream. if you jump ship, that's it, man. You're done.
Sorry, Mark.
No, I'll give him a...
Have you noticed that Laughing Buddha's been doing Driving Cast also? I wonder where he got that out of.
Yeah, we talked about that already. Just a minute. I'm going to try him back here. Hang on, Mark. Hang in there. Are you there, sir? Oh, there you are.
I am. Thank you.
I
don't know if you have time, but I have a serious question for you and your panel.
Okay, one more serious question, and then that's it. I'm opening my bottle of wine. Go ahead. My second bottle of wine.
Yeah, wait a minute. How did you make it sound like mine was not a fucking serious question?
No, yours was a very serious question.
It's a great question. Mostly. Oh, my God. Do you want me to rate them so that it makes you feel better? Your question was a 9. How about that?
Did you say you wanted to rape them?
I'll take a 9.
No, that's tea, as in tea bag.
Okay, I'll be teabagged by a 9. Okay.
So, go ahead, Tavi.
Quickly, look, listen, if I want to buy a coffee maker, I go down to the coffee maker store, and I look at several different coffee makers, and one's $50, one's $200, and one's $300. And I can choose my stupid coffee maker and buy the damn thing. Why on God's green earth do we have this system when you buy a car? You've got to deal with car salesmen and all of their trickery and chicanery and bamboozling. Why the fuck aren't cars just this price and that's what you friggin' pay? Why is it all a mystery? Why am I threatened by these people? I hate them. What is going on with this? Anyways, do you know what I'm saying? Why is the market this way? Why can't we just have... Why?
They have exactly what you want, though. It's called CarMax.
What's
you walk
that?
In, they have... it's basically, it was an offshoot of what used to be Circuit City. You walk in and they have pretty much cars from every manufacturer, and the prices on the window are what you pay for them, and you basically just sit in all of them until you find the one that fits your butt best, and then give them money and drive off. And they have a pretty good, they're all certified pre-owned, and they have pretty good warranties on them. So.
So there's places that do that.
Yes.
And Saturn,
but not for new cars.
Oh,
well,
no,
sure.
They have new cars now. They actually will just, yeah, they'll buy a ton of them from Chrysler and Ford and GM. And so, like, they used to get all of the fleet sales. So it would be like cars that used to be rental cars, which is kind of why they were so cheap. But now they'll actually get new cars just so that they have an increased variety, and because they know some people want cars that haven't been pre-fucked.
But come on, you're kind of taking the fun out of it. You're taking the sport out of buying a car if you don't go through a salesman, guys.
Well,
don't you think?
Well, to answer the first part of Smelly's question, that's why they exist, because there are people who have a lot of fun shopping around and seeing what sort of deals they can get and seeing, like, researching the hell out of every single car purchase to see how much money they can save. It's kind of the bizarre situation. If you go in wanting to haggle, you can usually get a lot of money off the car. If you just want to throw money at it and walk away with the car, you'll probably pay a little bit more, but it's less of a fuss.
The salesmen are really playing on your heart, though. They know that people are not good at negotiating for themselves, and they use all kinds of little tricks. It's a dirty business. You got to be very... very
savvy.
Yeah.
Savvy.
And ruthless.
Do you buy new cars or pre-owned cars, Faye Driver?
Both. I've purchased new and used, and
what is your suggestion on that for folks?
Or whether to buy a new or used car?
Uh-huh.
I recommend highly that you go for a car that's already been purchased by somebody.
Yay.
So whether it's a year old or 5 years old, I think
you're... tell us why.
Because someone else is going to pay the depreciation on that car and take a big hit on it. Even if you bought it 6 months to a year later, you're probably paying 60 to 70% less for that car if it's a really new car.
Yeah, I'd say about 90% of all vehicles lose 20% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. The only cars that don't do that are Hondas, but that's because people who buy Hondas are crazy.
Oops. Oh.
But, no, just a minute. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's not be calling down Honda drivers now.
No. Sorry. It's the, is the only time I've ever seen it. Trying to buy a less than year old used Honda costs more than a new one, just because there's so much of a I want a good reliable car, and Hondas have this reputation for being good reliable cars, that if you get a new one, there's a chance they might have fucked something up on them. So they look for ones that are a year old used and therefore drive the market up. And
right.
It's just so crazy to me. But
I think the only time you should ever buy a brand new car is if it's a car that you absolutely love and you feel you need to have.
Yeah.
If you're just buying a car because you need to drive to work in it, or it's a commuter car, or just a car that you use for everyday regular use, then go for it. Go get a used car, even, you know, 2, 3, 4 year old used car. Especially cars in this day and age, because they are built, any car you buy today is built fairly well,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of the odd one, which we won't get into
yeah.
at the moment. And they're not going to fall apart on you in the first 5 or 6 years, hopefully.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now, how important is a new car warranty then?
Most, if you're really worried about the warranty and you don't want to worry about fixing the car yourself or using the savings to kind of put on the side to make sure that you have a fund in case something does take a shit, you can get certified pre-owned. And those are basically used cars that you pay a little bit extra for that still have as much of a warranty as they had, or they tack a little bit extra on just because they're going, you're paying extra for this, we will fix anything that blows up on it.
Well, okay. Well, then my question is, if these cars aren't going to have problems, why don't more dealers offer that, realizing they're not going to have to pay out on it then?
Well, I think many dealers are. I think many.
You know what I'm saying?
I think so. I think many dealers are now recognizing the value of the certified pre-owned car. Is that's what you're saying, right?
Well,
that we should be buying used. They should be selling used cars.
If they think that it's not, if they think that there's not going to be problems, and you know the cars, you know. Well,
but
for instance, well, I went.
They don't
to,
make.
I went.
It's
I'm
a.
Sorry?
It's a money. It's a cash grab.
Okay.
I'd say
all right.
There's.
Well, then,
I'd say there's
the
also. There's a huge spectrum. Like, actually, different things work for different people. Some people just have to have a new car every 3 years or
yeah.
so because that's how they show things off. Those people, the best thing for them is to lease a car, because what you're essentially doing is saying, I want to rent this car for 3 years and then hand you the keys and get a brand new one.
Oh, that's a good topic.
Yeah, and the next thing, though, is like if you really want a car and you want to own it from beginning to end, then you can finance. The thing that's really bad to do is to purchase a new car, drive it for only 2 or 3 years, and then trade it in towards another purchase of a new car, just because then you're in a chance of being upside down, which is you bought the car for 30 grand, you're trading it in for 14, but you still have 18 left to pay on the loan. And you just roll that into a new loan, and so you're constantly putting more money into a car loan and getting less and less car. So the thing is like they always say the best thing to do is to buy a 2-year-old used car and drive it into the ground. Next best thing is to buy a brand new car and drive it into the ground. Then the next best thing to do is lease it. And the worst thing you can do is like buy it brand new and then decide you hate it after 2 years and flip it for a new one. It's kind of like the same way with houses, I guess.
See, I don't, if I buy a new car, I don't do anything with it until it's paid off.
Yeah.
If I buy a used one, I don't do anything with it until it's paid off.
Yeah, but some people, like, they can't
right.
stand a car for more than 2 years, and they just need to get a new one, need to get something different. And leases are great for those people. The only time that those suck is leases have mileage restrictions. You can only drive about 10 or 12,000 miles a year. So if it's someone who has a really long commute, they're screwed, because they're either going to not be able to drive the car, or they're going to pay humongous fees at the end of the lease for going over the mileage. But
sorry, Faye, I didn't mean to hijack your show.
No, not at all. This is great. I love this
discussion. I think the leasing topic is something that people would like to know a lot more about.
Yeah, sure. We'll talk about that on a future show.
Yeah.
And Toppy, let's getting back to your Honda. I think you and the white boy are both at the same point where you have to stop spending money on your car. Because you know who I mean by the white boy.
Pythagoras,
yes. He'd spent a bunch of money on his car. I don't have him on my Skype, so I was going to try to get him in on the show to talk about his car problems, but we're coming up to the end of the hour anyway, so maybe I will talk to the white boy on next week's show if he wants to come back. But let me just broach this subject. He spent a bunch of money on his transmission and then had other problems as well, and he's sunk quite a bit of money into his car, and it is running now. But
he just came on. It's Wesley Stone.
Okay. I'll try to get him on the call in a minute. Toppy, you're sort of in the same situation. You just spent a bunch of money on your radiator. I think you did some brake work as well. Did you have some rotors? Mm-hmm. And you're dealing with this exhaust problem. And I'm concerned that if you have another major problem, like this, if you can't convince someone to fix your muffler without replacing the catalytic converter, and you can't convince them to just pull that converter off and give you just a plain pipe and skip the catalytic converter, because I don't think you need one. You can ask your mechanic that. Do I really need he really needs this catalytic converter, because if you don't need it for emissions testing, then there's no point in having one. You'll just be polluting the environment a little more than you might like to.
Oopsie.
But if you need this car to hang in until you can afford a new one, then you should do that, and don't spend any more money on this car, because I think you've spent too much. And I think in the last 6 months, the amount of money that you've spent on your car, and I'm guessing it's on the neighborhood of $15,000 to $2,000 in the last 6 months, you could be putting that money into a different, newer, used car.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So I'm going to see if I can get Wesley. You guys talk amongst yourselves. Peter, do you have anything to add to this?
No, sounds like very prudent advice. If generally the rules, like me and my friends go by, is if the repairs are starting to cost more than the car is worth, it's time to put it to pasture.
Okay, and like, where's that balancing point, Peter?
Literally, just take the last two repairs to the vehicle and then go on Kelly Blue Book and put in the year of your vehicle and what you think the quality is, and you can get the prices for basically what they're selling for at the dealer or in private sales. Dealer's always going to be the lowest, like what your trade-in value could be for it, and private sales, like what you could list it on Craigslist or your cars.com or some other car resale site, the classified ads. But that generally is where you get the number and then look at it. And then
let me ask you this. Do you think people that go in to buy cars nowadays are better prepared because of the internet?
Yeah. Actually, what I've done is I've basically gone in with friends and some of my mom's friends, like with a computer tethered to a cell phone, literally just ready to pull up exactly what the dealer invoice price on the vehicle they're looking at is. And it greatly intimidates the dealer into behaving, just because I'm literally sitting there going, okay, this thing costs them $17,000, but they tend to have an MSRP of 20. So if, you know, they're offering 20, if they're trying to get you to buy it for 18, they're still making money. If they're suddenly selling it for 16, they want to get rid of it and it's stuck on the lot taking up space for a nicer car, so you could, like, this is how big of a deal you're getting.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna wind down the show now. I want to thank everybody. I gotta send out a couple of thank yous to some people that helped me get set up on the Pride 48 stream. For starters, Adam Burns helped me out. Adam Burns, remember him?
That was the skinny boy at Las Vegas.
Oh, is that guy that was in the gym the whole time?
The gym and the bananas. Yeah, that guy.
I hear he likes to be naked.
Well, he helped me out a lot with his various skills.
Okay.
And so I want to thank him for the advice that he gave me. And and George, I'm using both a PC and a Mac. I also want to thank Arthur Schenk from the Amarins podcast, because he convinced me to go another way, and so I went the other way. No, the cheap way, the cheaper way. I didn't want to spend any more money on you guys than I already have to.
Love
so.
You too.
So thank you, Arthur, for helping me out. And I'm getting my headset all tangled up and making horrible mic noise. So hopefully this sounded okay and everything turned out. What the hell? I'm just completely tangled here. Good God, boys. What am I going to do with myself? So
I have some ideas.
So me tangled up in a dark office with a bunch of computers.
Sounds like Mr. Anderson's getting lucky tonight.
So, Big Fatty, do you want to plug your show if you feel you have
really.
To?
Everybody
thank
knows
God.
Who the fuck I am.
Yeah. Mark, tell us about your show and where people can find you.
You can find me on iTunes at The Scooter Diaries. You can also find my blog at laughingbuddha.blogspot.com.
And Peter, tell us, we never spoke about the They Don't Know blog. Give a little plug for your They Don't Know blog and tell us what it's about. What's your blog about?
It's basically about whatever the hell I feel like talking about at any given moment, very few and far between at this point. It's a podcast, but, you know, I tended to go from semi-weekly to monthly to hopefully I can keep it above yearly at this point, but
And where? What's your address? Give us your address. And
just go to epilonius.net. Epilonius.
And Toppy Smelly.
Well, you can reach me at thesmellcast.com, but I was just going to say how nice it was to hear Peter's voice again, because I used to subscribe to They Don't Know, and I didn't know you were still doing it.
I never killed the subscription. I just stopped putting stuff to it, because I'm probably going to try and ramp up more, but we'll see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Faye Driver, I'm not going to plug me, but I am going to plug Spotting Big Fatty.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is the funniest fucking thing on the face of the earth.
I also
second
need...
only to Ken Beaver's Lodge.
Right. Actually, I need to thank Gavin as well, Gavin from Poking It With a Stick. He was a great help. He helped me out a lot with all the settings and stuff for... getting connected to the stream. So thank you very much, Gavin. And thanks, Gavin, for giving me the inspiration to do this. So when I click off here, I suspect that Gavin might take over the stream and might have his own show come on. I'm not exactly sure, but maybe you'll hear him.
You mean the number one fan of the BFO for 2012?
The number one fan of the BFO, exactly. And thanks, everybody, for listening. All the people in the chat room who've been here listening to us go on, I'll read them off for Big Fatty. We have, Laughing Buddha, Apollonius, myself. Gavin is here. Hello, Gavin. George in Atlanta. Haunt Cub is here. Maybe he's going to join us next week, Haunt Cub, with a question on next week's show, Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Kim Bacon is in here. We got Moose. Wesley P. Pythagoras Stone is here, and Scotty, the little Aussie battler, came in near the end, but now I'm going to hang up on him. Thanks to Big Fatty, I don't know who Homo is, Mike from Squamish is here in the room, Tara is here, and Toppy Smelly as well. So this is the end of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. Everybody, thank you for joining me. Here's my show music, closing music.
Garage.